I invite you to be opening to 1 Timothy chapter 6 this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I've been focusing my study for the past several weeks on the letter of 1 Timothy. We've taken a couple of detours, but for the most part, for several weeks now, we've been lifting messages from this letter from Paul to Timothy and to a larger extent to the church at Ephesus. And so today we come to chapter 6, and I want to read verses 3 through 10, and then we'll think about those verses together for a few moments. 1 Timothy 6, beginning at 3. Paul says, if anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierce themselves with many griefs. A priest and a preacher and a televangelist were having a discussion, and they were talking about how they decide how much of the church's contribution to keep for themselves as a salary. Well, the priest says, here's what I do. I have a line right down the center of my office. And I take the money from the contribution and I straddle that line and I throw the money up in the air. Whatever falls on the left side, I keep for myself as my salary. Whatever falls on the right side, I give to God. The preacher said, well, I do something like that, but I have a little circle in my office and I take the contribution and I stand in the circle and I throw the money up in the air. Whatever lands in the circle, I keep for myself, and whatever lands outside the circle, I give to God. And the televangelist said, well, yeah, I do something similar too. He said, I take the money in the contribution, and I throw it up into the air, and whatever God catches, he keeps for himself. Greedy preachers. Greedy preachers are a problem in our world, but they are not a new problem. In fact, they have been around since the first century, and greedy preachers and teachers were lurking around the church in Ephesus, and one of the things Timothy was supposed to do was put a stop to their greedy motives. These preachers and teachers apparently were charging exorbitant fees for their sermons, for their lessons. They were greedy for gain. They were looking at godliness as an opportunity for financial gain, trying to get rich. And Paul says you need to put it to a stop, Timothy. But Paul also uses this backdrop of greedy ministers as an opportunity to teach the entire church about a very important subject, the subject of contentment. Now, it was an important message for them in the first century world, and it is a lesson that we as Christians in America today need to hear. I'm sure you know from your knowledge of the Old Testament that the great man from the Old Testament, Abraham, was from the land of Ur, spelled U-R. Well, those of us who are living in America today are living in the land of Ur. But it's spelled E-R. We are living in the land of Big-er and Better. We are living in the land of New-er and Nice-er. We are living in the land of Wealthy-er, Rich-er, Pretty-er, and on and on and on it goes. The world says to us, if you are not then you're nobody. And if you aren't trying to be then something is seriously wrong with you. And Paul would say to us, you need to just pull yourself out of that culture. You need to be in it, but not of it. You need to pull yourself out of the rat race, because even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. And Paul says, nope, the way that the Christian is supposed to live is we are to be content. And in this passage, Paul teaches us three things about contentment. He had learned the secret himself. Vance read about it from Philippians chapter 4, and he shares with us the secret. So let's think this morning about being content while we're living in the land of We'll talk about the requirement for contentment and the reason for it, and finally the rejection of it. First of all, the requirement for contentment. If you'll look at verse 6, Paul has talked about those greedy preachers and teachers up above in the verses before. And he gets to verse 6, and he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness and contentment must go together. We should not be content for one skinny minute unless and until we have godliness in our lives. I'm going to tell you this morning to be content, but if you aren't right with God, you don't need to be content. If you're not in a saving relationship with God, then you don't need to rest until you get into that saving relationship with God. And even after you get into the saving relationship with God, there is still work to do, because we want to become more and more godly. Godly, verse 6, is just short for God-likeness. We want to be like God, and we want to be striving more and more to be like Him. So contentment is not complacency. Christians should be content with what we have. We should never be content with what we are. Now, we can be assured of our salvation and we can rest in our salvation, but our love for God ought to drive us closer and closer and closer to Him. The Bible says we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus placed a blessing on those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. In other words, you never have enough. Jesus says you will be blessed if you are hungry, if you are craving, if you are wanting more and more of God's righteousness. That's the way to blessing. So Christians should always be growing and learning and discovering and developing. Like that mountain climber put on his tombstone, we need to die climbing. We're not content with who we are, but we must, Paul says, we must learn to be content with what we have. There was a Mennonite watching a new neighbor move into his fancy new house. The neighbor was carrying in all kinds of the newest and nicest furniture and technology and devices and gadgets and gidgets. Is that a word? Should be. And so he finally calls out to his neighbor and he says, hey there, neighbor, welcome to the neighborhood. And the Mennonite says, if you should ever find yourself lacking anything, just come and ask me and I'll tell you how to get along without it. And Paul says Christian contentment is learning to happily get along without the bigger and the better and the newer and the nicer and the material things that people are chasing in this world. I did some premarital counseling this week, and as is always the case, I was talking to these newlyweds, I call them, and man, they got the urge to merge, you know, they're just all in love. And so I always ask them, what are some of the interests you share? What do y'all like to do? And they always give a similar answer, and they did this week. They said, well, it doesn't matter where we are, doesn't matter what we do, doesn't matter what we have, as long as we are together. And I thought two things. I thought, number one, you'll get over that. I'm getting cynical. I've done enough of this that I'm getting cynical. You'll get over that. But number two, I thought, Lord, give me that kind of relationship with you. Help me to say deep down in my soul, Lord, if I am with you, it doesn't matter where we are, and it doesn't matter what we're doing, and it doesn't matter what we have. As long as I am with you, I am satisfied. Well, Paul says, yes, contentment, but contentment with godliness. That is great gain. So the requirement for contentment, real contentment, is godliness. Can't have one without the other. Number two, the reason for contentment. Why did Paul go through the trouble of learning the secret of contentment? And why was he sharing it with the church in Ephesus here in this letter? Well, if you look at verses 7 and 8, Paul says, "For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." The reason we should learn to be content as Christians is because the transitory nature of life. We aren't here on this earth very long. I mean, the time gets by just like that. In eternity, which is very long, material things won't matter one little bit. And so Paul says, don't let material things distract you in this little while that we're on the earth, and get your eyes off the prize of being ready for eternity. Did a funeral yesterday, and the man who had passed away was 62 years old. And I told the audience that was there that when I was a boy, I thought 62 was ancient. I mean, I thought if you were 62, you were older than dirt. But now that I'm in my early 50s and I'm only about 10 years away from 62, I realize what a brief period of time that is. I mean, here I am. I'm about to be 52, and I feel like a little kid in a grown-up body. But I still, at 52, feel like there is so much of life out there in front of me. And this man who was 62 really, in my mind, died young. Because time goes by so quickly. And so we are only here for a little while, and we don't want to be distracted. Things aren't bad. Material possessions are not bad. Money is not bad. It's just that these things are so distracting. And they can get our mind off of what truly matters. And the only thing that truly matters is what I can take with me into eternity. You've heard it said before, you've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. Now, Google ruins everything, and I guarantee you, you could Google that, and you could find a picture of one. You could find a hearse pulling a U-Haul, but I've never seen one, and I'm still saying that in my sermons. So, but you know, you can't take it with you. Did you hear about the man who was so materialistic, and he loved gold so much that he hatched a plan that he was going to take some gold with him when he went? So he was buried with this satchel full of golden bricks, and he actually succeeded in his plan. The story goes that he's standing at the gates of heaven, and here is Peter about to let him in, and he says, "What's in the satchel? How'd you get that here?" He opens it up and looks, and he sees these gold bricks in the satchel, and he looks up at the man and says, "What are you going to do up here with pavement? You know, the streets are gold. And all the things that we strive for down here that take our mind off the real prize really won't matter when we get into eternity. And life is so short and eternity is so long." And so the reason for contentment is the transitory nature of life. We are here, Paul says, and then we are gone. And we need to focus on what matters in eternity more than here. And then finally, let's think about the rejection of contentment. The rejection of it. There were some in Ephesus, some Christians, who were rejecting contentment. And Paul wants them to know, when you reject contentment, you reject two other very important things. You reject happiness, and more importantly, you reject holiness. Number one, when you reject contentment, you reject happiness. Look at verse 8. Paul says, if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. And apparently some weren't. They had everything they needed. They had food. They had clothing. The word there in verse 8 literally means covering. So it could mean shelter too, clothing and shelter. But they had the necessities of life. But Paul says you aren't enjoying them because you're not content. You haven't learned that secret of contentment. Being discontent causes us to reject happiness. Heard about a man who went to the bank to cash his check from work. The teller stood there and counted out the money in a little pile, counted it right down to the dollar. After she finished, the man stood there and looked at it, and he picked it up and he counted it, and then he counted it again. The teller said, well, what's wrong? Didn't I give you enough? And he said, just barely. You know, and we have everything we need, but we're not happy with it because we say, well, I just barely got enough. And we are robbed of enjoying the things that we really have because we want more and more and more. When we reject contentment, we reject happiness. Paul says, look, if you've got enough to get by, then enjoy yourself. God has promised to meet our needs. He has never promised to meet our greeds. But number two, and even more seriously, rejecting contentment is rejecting holiness. Did you hear verses 9 and 10 when we read them earlier? People who want to get rich fall into temptation in a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. The love of money is a root of all evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. If you let your mind get so focused on material things, then you can get your mind off the spiritual world. And many have done that. Many for a while try to live with kind of this world in one hand and the next world in the other. And finally they say, you know what? I'm letting go. I'm letting go of eternity. I'm going to focus on here and now. I'm getting in this rat race and I'm going to get all I can get right here and now. And they forget about faith and about eternity. There was a man who also loved money and he loved gold. He was wealthy. And he loved gold so much that he had his bedroom decorated in gold. Everything was gold. The paint on the wall was gold. The curtains, gold. The bedding was gold. He even had golden pajamas. One day he got sick. He came down with yellow jaundice. And the doctor did a house call. You know, he was so wealthy, the doctor would come see him. So the doctor comes to his house, and the wife says, well, he's feeling real bad, and he's up in the bedroom, and he's in bed. Go see him, doc. And the doc went up there, and the doctor was in there for a long time. Finally, he came back out of the bedroom and walked over to the wife, and the wife said, well, doc, how is he? And the doctor said, I don't know. I couldn't find him. And Paul says, you know, many are going to lose themselves with the love of gold. And for this little bitty while, they're going to make themselves rich and they're going to say, why would I go worship when I could be making more money? And why would I pray while I could be doing a business deal? And why would I study the Bible when I could be reading the stock market and the latest reports? And why would I try to share my faith when I can go share my product with somebody and get some money from them? And on and on and on and on. And what they forget is that it is okay to have things, but when you let things have you, you have made a tragic, tragic mistake. And Paul says, don't do it. What we need, what we must have is godliness with contentment. May God help us to have just that. May God help us to learn with Paul the secret of contentment. Paul says in verse 7 that you came into this world and you will be leaving it. And you will. Are you ready to do that? We sang before I got up here, it is well with my soul. Were you meaning that? Were you meaning that everything is right between you and God? If you haven't put him on in baptism because of your faith in Jesus, then all's not well with your soul. That's why we offer the public invitation every time we get together, and that's why we're offering it right now. If you are not right with God, get right with him. Do it through faith and through confession and through repentance and by putting him on in baptism. We invite you to do that now as together we stand and sing.